These are anxious and disconcerting times running up to this election. I read an article last week in the New York Times that therapists are reporting that over half of the people who are coming in are talking about how mentally disturbing they're finding this particular election cycle. Yesterday, I was with a group of people, many of whom are very devoted to their life of prayer, and there was a confession around that circle that many of us were feeling very disturbed in our prayer life because of how disconcerting things are feeling, and how we're falling into habits of checking the news and websites several times a day to find out what's going on. And of course, the news continues to be, whenever you think things are settling into something that you can sort of live with one way or the other, it gets messed again in some way, and it just seems perpetual. In the midst of this very disconcerting time comes the powerful word of Habakkuk. And I want to unpack that for you today because I think it gives us a way to be during this disconcerting time that is deeply true, not only of the life of an Old Testament prophet, but in fact, I believe, deeply, the life of Jesus Christ. Habakkuk, well, as Chloe and I like to say, the way we remember the name of this particular minor prophet is Habakkuk-y. Is not known for much of anything except for these lines. And it's the lines that Habakkuk is known for are these, just half of what you just heard read. You heard read the very beginning of the book of Habakkuk, and then this most powerful expression that weaves together at least four very significant pieces of scriptural advice. So I want to just focus on four phrases, a different phrase from each verse, and I hope give you a picture of what a strong faith in God might look like. It begins, "I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint." So it begins with the image of a sentinel keeping watch. And this is one of those major themes in Scripture, keep watch. There's a wonderful psalm that ends, "I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning," repeating it twice. This idea of staying alert and watching runs very deep in our spiritual tradition. One of my favorite prayers includes not only the invitation for us to keep watch, but the request that God keep watch. It's one of the prayers for the evening in the Compline service written by Augustine, and it begins, "Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night." So the simple task of being watchful is an essential first step. The book that I recommended to you in the spring, Martin Laird's Into the Silent Land, recommends precisely that as, well, commends exactly that as the fruit of what happens in a mature contemplative process, where one goes from being what he calls from a victim to a witness, that one becomes a witness to one's own drama that one's experiencing in life all the time. All of the emotions that get churned up, there is a part of us, there is an attentiveness, a watchfulness that gets activated in our sense of being that means that we are solid and clear and watchful, attentive. The passage continues, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it." Make it plain on tablets. Now, this particular phrase is repeated over and over again in evangelical churches who are always trying to come up with a simple message to try and bring people in. And that is part of what's being said here. But part of what's being said for all of us individually is the power of simplicity, the power of a clear and simple vision and sense of self and sense of who we are and what we're about. The closest thing that, well, you know, Simon and I are, and Chloe are looking at high schools right now, and as we're looking at high schools, it keeps being homecoming weekend in places. And boy, they make a sign and they make it plain and they make it clear, right? You know, it's those spirit messages and those big banners. Everybody show up and cheer on the team. There's a simplicity, there's a power, there's a rightness about that way of being. And I wonder as we grow older if we try to make things too complicated and instead need to go back to these very simple, clear messages. And in our case, it's Jesus, it's love, it's mercy, it's service of the least. Those simple, clear things, to keep coming back to those and to know the rightness of them. The passage continues, "For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." Wait. Now add this to these two images that I've already shared with you. One, the watchfulness. Two, the simplicity, the clear, strong simplicity. And then there's the admonition to wait. One of my favorite poems is a sonnet by Milton. "When I consider how my light is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide." And then he considers that Milton has become blind. And he wonders, he prays in anguish to the Lord, "What am I supposed to do with the gifts that you've given me now that I've become blind?" And he gets the reassurance at the end of the sonnet, "They also serve who only stand and wait." We tend to underestimate the power of simply waiting with strength and attention. Wait, be still, and trust that God will work things out right. Now that's a hard message right now with all of the things that are flying around, but that is a deeply Christian message. We always are living in the already and the not yet. We are waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise, and we can trust it. Which leads finally to the last spiritual insight that this brief, packed passage gives us. Again, it's, "If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith." Now, this brief phrase becomes one of the most important in all of Scripture because it is a cornerstone of Paul's understanding of what has happened in Jesus Christ. He quotes it repeatedly. "The righteous will live by their faith." It's that deep truth that Abraham was saved by his faith before the law even began to come into being through the act of circumcision. Even before he was circumcised, he was justified because he had faith. It's again a very simple, strong claim about who we are and who we need to be in the face of this onslaught of a season. We are to understand that our righteousness comes from faith that God is God. And so in this brief passage from Habakkuk, "I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith.'" Amen.